Many believers, for that matter, even people who aren't much of a believer, have heard or can quote, for the most part, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Most believers can get to that point. They can say that verse, forget the rest of it for a moment. They start there, but what a powerful, powerful start for our understanding of God. In our beginning, God created. God, the author of everything, the creator of all things, the one who gives everything, in the beginning, God created. But I want to keep going with that introduction for just a moment as we open God's word. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Pray. Oh, Father in heaven, holy is your name. As we have sung throughout this worship today about this great light, as we have just sung about how our soul can be at peace and well because of who you are and what Jesus has done, it is based upon that and the reading of your word that we have just had that we come before you, the creator of heaven and earth, and we bow. We humbly come before you, but we come before you with thanksgiving. We thank you for even the difficulties that go on our life. We thank you for the health problems that we face. We thank you for the financial burdens that we go through. We thank you for even the difficulties of relationships between believers and unbelievers, because every one of those, Father, draw us closer to you. And even though we don't like the discomfort that comes, Father, we want to be your disciple, and we want to bask in you. Father, help us to not think so much of ourselves that we forget to depend upon you. Help us to walk in the light that you created, and the light that you gave through Jesus. And help us to be people who testify to the light. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When creation starts, the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. You know, I will tell you, I have read my Bible multiple times. I've read Genesis many more times than I've read the whole Bible through. I've read these verses more times than I've read just the book of Genesis. But there was something that hit me as I was preparing for this lesson. And that is darkness. I just hadn't thought about it before. I mean, it just wasn't a part of what I was thinking. You know, I've got, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything is beautiful. God said, let there be light. And I missed a chunk. I missed a chunk. There was darkness over the face of the deep or the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over that. And then God speaks into creation. We have part of creation already there, the heavens and the earth that we have defined for us. We have this void that we call the planet Earth. We have this ball of water that is sitting there in what we call our universe. And the first, for us, the first recorded words that God says is, let there be light. Light was the very first thing that we see that gets brought into creation. And then we get the commentary, if you will, that when God saw it, the light, he saw that it was good. Now, not that God needs my approval, but I think light's good. I like light. I am 57, coming on to 58 soon. And I have had issues my whole life with my eyesight. I blame or thank my mother for that one, whichever way you want to go with that. But what I have noticed, and Carrie and I have talked, what I have noticed is when I drive home, say on a Wednesday night, I don't like driving at night nearly as much as I was comfortable driving at night before. There is just something about the darkness that automatically slows me down. Okay? And I know that I try to watch my eyes because I know my mother had very bad eyesight and went from bad to worse. So I do watch that. But I like light. Now, I will also tell you, there are times that I walk in darkness. Generally, it's because I am not intelligent enough to turn on the light switch, because I am arrogant enough to believe that I could find my way around whatever it is, my house or wherever I am, in the dark. So I just don't want to turn on the light switch. So I just go in the dark because I feel like I know it well enough that I could get around in the dark. I'm sure it's never happened to anybody here, but there are times that I don't have my shoes on that my foot has come in contact or my toes have come in contact with something that brings me discomfort. And I immediately blame Carrie because now my foot hurts because I wouldn't turn on the light. Oh, I can get to it. We have three-way light switches. I hate three-way light switches because you see, on is up, off is down. Three-way light switches, it doesn't work that way. Somebody is not in the right position. Okay. We have that in our home and at the two ends of our kitchen as you come in through our three-season room and into the kitchen and come around to where the living room and the bedrooms are. And I will come in through that side area of the kitchen and I will not turn on that light switch because it makes the one on the other side, what I call the main light switch because it's main to me, in the off position. And that bothers my OCD. Okay. But if I have taken off my shoes, there have been on more than one occasion where I have hit or kicked or stepped on a dog toy, which really, really, really upsets me. And now my foot hurts. And it's Carrie's fault. No, it's Carrie's fault because she will laugh at me when that happens. God said, let there be light. And then we see God saw the light, saw that the light was good. The light was good. This morning I want us to think about what it means to be the light. And in order to do that, I want us to turn to John chapter 1. And this is going to be our text, John chapter 1. And I just want to open up the idea of light shining in the darkness. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, and we're going to see as you jump down here, and most of you who are good Bible scholars already know this. As you go down to verse 14, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. We know that the Word that John begins with in that prologue is Jesus. But he doesn't say Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word. I think that's interesting. Maybe it's just me, but I think that's interesting. In the beginning was God's message, communication. And I go back to Genesis 1. And I come down where it says, and God said, let there be light. And I come to John 1 and read that in the beginning the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God, everything was created, was made through him. Jesus is the very communication of God. And he brings, as John brings out here, life and light. That's what he brings. In the beginning was this Word, this voice coming from God, this communication from God. And everything has been created through him. When you look at verse 4, in him, speaking of the Word or Jesus, was life. If you just stop there for a moment. Jesus was and is everything that is needed for life. And while I think there is a degree that we're talking about our physical life, there is really much more here about the life that began with our conception and goes throughout the rest of eternity. My spiritual life too. That's the bigger life. In him was life. Most of you have come to that point where you have decided, I've been dead in my sin, and I have to deal with that death because I want life. And so we turn to the one who gives life. Jesus. In him was life. When Jesus came in the flesh, Jesus allowed us in the flesh to see God. And that is awesome to me. I get God's character, essence, being, as much as could fit into a fleshly human being embodied in Christ, in Jesus. So that when I see Jesus, or as Jesus would say to Philip, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Okay? Jesus helps me to understand God with his flesh on. Even though God is spirit, the incarnation of Christ and the ministry of Jesus teaches me God's love, God's anger, God's justice, God's mercy. It teaches me who God is. in him was life. As disciples, we all praise Jesus for what happened at the cross and then the empty tomb. I am thankful for the life that I have, because through Jesus, sin and death were conquered. And I am now no longer bound by those two things. In him was life. The second half of that verse 4, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shining in the darkness, Jesus is going to claim is himself. I want you to take a look at three passages that John says about Jesus. I'm going to just read these to you. In John chapter 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12, verse 46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. What I want you to take away from this beginning, middle, I have no idea where I am in my sermon, but what I want you to take away here at this point in my sermon is that Jesus is the light. Okay, I want you to make sure you got that in your head. Jesus is the light. That's not you. That's not me. That is Jesus. He wants to shine in the darkness that is the world in which we live. But the question is, since Jesus died, was buried in that tomb, rose again on the third day, continued to live for another 40 days, and then ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God. And then we start what we think of as the beginning, which is really Acts, the beginning of the middle of Acts chapter 1. How does that happen 2,000 years later? How does Jesus shine in the darkness? He's not here. You know, at least in his physical ministry, when Jesus was walking from place to place, when Jesus was having conversations with people, he could prove himself to be the light. And they saw something, even when they disagreed with Jesus, they saw something in him that made them think. And Jesus says, I came to shine. But how does that take place since Jesus has gone back? I want to take a look at an example. We're going to stay in John chapter 1. I want to take a look at an example that really helps me to understand my place in Jesus' shining. Coming back to John chapter 1, picking up where I left off, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Most of us know this John through his nickname. John what? Wow, you guys are so smart. John the Baptist. And he gets that name, John the Baptist or John the Immerser, because that's what he was doing. In his ministry, John was going around baptizing people. Now that was mostly around the Jordan River, mostly kind of a little east of Jerusalem, southeast of Jerusalem, in that desert area, wilderness area, I should say, is where the biggest part of his ministry was. But John is out there baptizing people. And when the Gospel of John, probably written by the Apostle John, writes about John the Baptist, he says, and here's his word, there was a man sent from God. Now this word sent is really closely related to, and very similar in the Greek language, to the word apostle. And what these words mean is not just, go get me a gallon of milk at the grocery store. It's really not what we're talking about. It's not that type of sending. This is being sent for a purpose, or with a purpose, or for a mission. So John was a person that God commissioned, that God sent, and his mission was to bear witness about the light. So before Jesus comes on the scene in his earthly ministry, he's born, but before his earthly ministry begins, John is out there as one who has been sent by God. Now, I'm going to just tell you a little bit of John's story. And his story doesn't begin with him. His story begins with his dad, Zechariah. And you see, his mom and dad were unable to have children. And she, his mom, Elizabeth, was considered barren, but they were of the priestly family of Levi. And his dad, what would become his dad, Zechariah, was chosen to serve in the temple. So he is in Jerusalem, and his job at that point in time was to go and serve in Jerusalem. It says it was chosen by lot, so he is in the temple. I can tell you this right now. If you were a priest in the first century, if you were a priest of God, that does not specifically mean you get to go and serve in the temple. You may not get to go and serve in the temple. Priest can, but not every priest did. Okay? John's dad, Zechariah, was chosen by lot to serve. He goes into the temple. And when he is there in the temple, he meets an angel. Now, all of this is put together in Luke 1, if you want to go check me out, which is always a good thing to do. And he meets this angel. And he is greatly afraid. Okay, we get that with everybody meeting an angel. They're greatly afraid. And then when the angel begins to speak to him, the angel says to him, you are going to have a son. And you are going to name him John. And he is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he is going to come in the power of Elijah. And his job is to make the pathway straight for the Messiah. That's going to be your son. Now, you can go read that story. There's some difficulties that Zechariah had. He's made mute and all that other type of stuff. But here's my point. From before John was conceived, God had a mission for John. Now, you may say, I'm not John. I'm Jeffrey. Pick your name. And I am not like John the Baptist. I'm not like the Apostle Paul. I'm not like Peter. I'm not like any of these great names that we read about. I'm just me. I'm going to challenge you on that. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then there is something that you have been given when you became a disciple of Jesus Christ. Anybody know what that was? What you were given the moment you were saved? What did God do for you? What did he come in and give you? The Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, okay, so you are now a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, the Spirit, according to God's word, gives gifts for the purpose of the church and what needs to be done. And he gives gifts to everyone according to that purpose. Now, I may not have any what most people call miraculous gifts, but I will not deny the power of the Holy Spirit in me. I won't go there. I will tell you, when God gifts a person, he does so so that the person uses the gift that God has given to him. If that's true, if I'm correct on that, and you can tell me afterwards if you think I'm incorrect, then you have a purpose that God chose. You have a purpose because you've been gifted by God. So if you're not using your gift, that's a problem. That's on you now. But God has chosen to use you as his vessel for his purpose, just like he did people like John the Baptist. Okay? We may not fit every caliber in every way that some of the people do in the Bible, but we still are chosen people who have a purpose. But there is really kind of a generic purpose that every disciple of Jesus Christ has. And that is to bear witness. We are to bear witness of the light. That's our biggest purpose. Now, I've got whatever gift or gifts that God has given to me, and I need to be using them. Whether that is musical, whether that is speaking, whether that is creating things, whether that is in service, whether that is in generosity, whatever the gift is, I need to be using my gift. But all of those gifts point us back to Jesus Christ and are used so that we can bear witness about the light. I grew up in pretty traditional churches of Christ. I grew up as a preacher's kid. I grew up in missionary fields overseas, and I grew up in Alaska, and I grew up in places where my dad was the center, if you will, and I'm not saying that arrogantly, of spiritual knowledge. That's why he went where he went, okay? Because he had some training and he wanted to help in areas. And he wanted to go where maybe the gospel wasn't as strong. Listening to my dad preach growing up, I knew I would want to be a preacher too. But my dad did not use words like witness or testify very often. My dad would use other words like share Jesus or evangelism. Those are the words my dad would use. But I have come to embrace two words that I just wasn't overly connected to in my youth and young adult. John is called by God to bear witness about the light. If you are a witness, and I have had to go to court to be a witness, what you do when you go to court is you testify to what you have seen and heard. That's what you do, okay? You have a couple of lawyers and they both ask you questions and you give the answers according to what you know. A witness is one who testifies to what they have seen and heard. Come back to verse 8. I love how it flat out says, he was not the light. Speaking of John the Baptist. And I have to ask myself, why do you think that was put there? I'm going to just jump down. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm going to just jump down to verse 19. It says in John chapter 1, beginning of verse 19, and this is the testimony. So here we are. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him who you are. Who are you, excuse me? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. So they said, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He said, here's who I am. I'm the one that just wants to talk about the light. That's who I am. I am not the Christ. I am the one that talks about the Christ. But he so embodied the message that people thought he was the Christ. So when John is writing to us about John the Baptist, he would say in verse 8, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Every person here has had a spiritual experience, if you will, an encounter. And it's time that we learn how to testify. It is time that we learn how to bear witness. And the difficulty is, we bear witness and we testify about so many things that are comfortable to us. But it is difficult for us to testify about Jesus. Oh, not that we don't know. It's just that we do know when we start to testify, there's probably going to be somebody that doesn't like the testimony. When I was called to the stand, I had two lawyers talk to me. One liked me, the other did not. Because, one, that was their job. Okay, I'm just leaving it at that. But what they wanted to do was ask me or question about my testimony. And under oath, I had to give an answer. We get that in the legal sense. But it is time for us to testify about who Jesus is, the light. And to do it in such a way that people are asking us the question. I want to so reflect that light that they're asking me, why do you do what you do? Why do you say what you say? Why do you behave the way you behave in this circumstance, in that circumstance? You know, when you're dealing with a health issue, when you're dealing with a relationship with issue, whatever the case may be, why do you act the way you do? I want to say, because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. And I want to then tell my testimony about Jesus. As I said earlier on, most of you came to a point in your life where you knew that you were dead in your sin. How you came to that point, probably someone was talking with you and you were studying scripture and you came to that point and you said, wait a second, if all of this is true, then I'm dead. And you decided, I want life. It's your story. Testify to it. Share it. How many of us have been blessed by God's family, brothers and sisters who have walked with us in some of our darkest emotional times, who have been there for us, who have loved on us, who have held us, who have cried with us? Testify about what Jesus does with the family of God? How many of us experienced the opposite of that? In the joy, have had people come and just celebrate life with us and lift us up and just spend life together, play games together, just enjoy one another's company. Because you are brothers and sisters in Christ. Testify. Testimony is not difficult. What makes it difficult is whether or not you believe it so deeply, it almost has to come out of you. Or whether you gotta force it to come out of you. But if what Jesus is doing in and through you and how he encounters your life is so powerful, you really almost can't help but to testify. I want to be such a witness, such a testimony that prompts people to want to talk with me. I want that. And you know what? Since God knows that, he may have to allow me to face difficulties that I really don't like in this life. But he gives me the opportunity to use the thorn in the flesh, the difficulty, to become a testimony about my weakness and his strength, about his grace, about his love, about his mercy. I want to testify about the light. I am looking forward to 2025. And this year's theme is pretty basic, the terminology. Light the rock. The light is Jesus Christ. The rock is the town of Glen Rock. It is time for us to light the rock. Now, most of us don't even live in Glen Rock. So we are going to be pushing ourselves to do things that connect us with the people of this community. And we do that not to manipulate, but to have an opportunity to light the rock, to share Jesus. And so there are so many things that we're going to be talking about, and we're going to start with lighting the rock with prayer. And that's what we're going to begin next week. We're going to talk a couple of sermons around that and how that works with collective prayer and who we're going to be praying for and maybe a time in which we could all pray together. John came to bear witness to the light. What about you? Did you come to get a meal? Did you come because you felt guilty? Did you come because, well, that's what you just do every Sunday. You get up and you go to church. Or have you come because the light of Jesus Christ so brightly shines within you that it always draws you to him and his people? I don't know where you are in your walk, but I do know this. I know that there are times that we all need encouragement in our walk. And I love that we have some people in the back that will just spend a little time with you today. If you just want a time to pray, if you just want a time to talk to someone, if you just have a question about something in your Bible and you just are looking for an answer, there's some people here that really want to do that. I also know that we as a congregation want to take an opportunity to say, look, if you want all of us as a church family to come around you, then all you have to do is come while we stand and while we sing.